Welcome to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal. I would appreciate it so much if you would like, subscribe, and leave me a review. On this episode, I'll be talking to the widow of the legendary, iconic, late Ronnie James Dio about the Holy Diver box set with special features that came out in honor of his 80th birthday in July, and also Wendy and Don Argut. He is a director that has partnered with Wendy for Dio, Dreamers Never Die, out worldwide in theaters September 28th and October 2nd.
Hi, Jackie.
Well, hey, Ms. Wendy Dio, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm pleased to be speaking with you.
I'm so excited about the opportunity to speak with you as well. Your late husband, the legendary, iconic Ronnie James Dio's 80th birthday, and you've got a special celebration and tribute, Holy Diver Super Deluxe Edition box set. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I can't even think of Ronnie being 80, quite honestly. But he would have been, and the records are coming out very good. I'm really pleased with the remix that Joe Barishi did, with it coming up a bit more modern. It's really in your face. And then the original one, and then there's so many different things. We have a live recording from Fresno from 1983 that's never been out before, and so a lot of little bonus things that we picked out from different LPs and singles and stuff. So I'm happy with the project. I hope everyone will be.
And it's out as a 4-CD set, 2 LPs, or digital editions, of course, on iTunes, Amazon, and RonnieJamesDio.com. Now, you were talking about the Fresno show. Is that some of the rare things that are included in this box set?
Yes, it is. It's an unreleased show that was done in 1983 on the Holy Diver tour. We found it in the vault and thought, oh, well, this is good to put on there. And also, Joe Barishi found some outtakes, which I was a little apprehensive, first of all, about putting out. And then I said, no, the fans would love to hear this. So we've got the outtakes on there. So I think the fans are really going to like that.
And, you know, gives us a peek into the personality of Ronnie James.
Exactly. Yep.
Wendy, you and Ronnie James were married for 36 years. Did he used to sing around the house?
No.
Really?
I did, but I can't sell him out of tune. One day, Ronnie, I was singing, and Ronnie goes, oh, you're really hurting my ears.
Oh, man. What is your favorite song of his?
Well, I got many favorite songs. Obviously, I would have to say Rainbow Eyes, because he wrote that about me. But if you think, I think Don't Talk to Strangers. I love that song. And I also love This Is Your Life, which is one of the last songs that he did.
Now, as a couple, what was your song together?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a 10cc song when we met. I'm Not in Love.
I love that song. Man, pulling out 10cc, that is awesome. Now, what are some of your favorite memories or stories about Ronnie you can share with us?
Oh, I have so many. But a funny one, he always wanted to play Madison Square Garden. He had played it with Sabbath, but not on his own. And so when it came to play, he had been offered twice as much money at Meadowlands, but he wanted to play Madison Square Garden, and so he did. And we saw it, there it was, up in lights, his name there. And this is before cell phones, and he said, Wendy, take a picture. I said, oh, I forgot the camera. I got a lot of heat for that for many, many months. That just came to my mind. I mean, we have so many stories of different things, of times together and stuff. I mean, making of the Holy Diver album, the beginning, we didn't know how it was going to go or what was going to happen. And, you know, the elation of seeing the fans loving it at the first show was like goosebumps.
You know, because not only were you and your late husband, Ronnie James Dio, married 36 years, but you were also his manager.
Oh, yeah. Was I didn't interfere with his music and he didn't interfere with my business.
Okay.
And it worked. I mean, obviously we had knockdown, drag out, yelling and screaming sometimes about things he didn't want to do or whatever. But you know, he was actually pretty good to be managed. But I mean, up against other artists that I've managed, I think Ronnie was pretty good.
Now, he was vocally such a powerhouse and a bigger than life person. Did he have a lighter side?
Oh, of course. He loved to play jokes on people. He had a great sense of humor. He liked British humor. You know, he loved his animals. He loved to be at home when he wasn't touring, just have friends over and you know, just normal person, watch sports. He loved sports.
Now, I know he loved all of the New York teams.
Oh, absolutely.
Did he ever, of course, now you're from the UK, and so did he ever get into any British soccer or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, he loved soccer. Yeah, absolutely. He loved soccer. He loved
football.
Every kind of sport.
How did you and Ronnie James meet?
Oh, I met him at the Rainbow Bar and Grill in West Hollywood.
Now, how did you come to the States, being from the UK?
Oh, well, I came over for a visit, and I just stayed. It was out of the rain.
That is awesome. Of course, Holy Diver, Super Deluxe Edition, Box Set, 4 CDs, 2 LPs, or the digital editions. Okay, so it is out there on iTunes, Amazon, and RonnieJamesDio.com. Ms. Wendy Dio, what is one thing that your late husband, Ronnie James Dio, his fans don't know about him, but that you want them to know?
Oh, let me see. What can I tell you that he didn't know? He wrote his songs, Listening to Sports.
Really?
Yeah, he did. He always would sit on the sofa with a guitar and watch sports and write songs.
That is awesome to know. And I guess got his inspiration as the games were going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a documentary coming out in the fall, so they should look out for that.
Oh, cool. So what is that going to be called? Do you know yet?
It's called Dio, Dreamers Never Die.
I love it.
It will be in theaters.
Oh, my gosh.
Be streamed. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is coming out September 28th and October 2nd. Now, let's talk about it. I am so excited about this movie. From the early bands, Elf, Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow, when he replaced Ozzy and Sabbath, and then, of course, Dio. Now, fans can expect never-before-seen footage, photos, friends of his, family, and, I mean, we're talking Tony Iommi, Geezer Butler, Lita Ford, Robert Halford, Sebastian Bach. Now, Wendy, is there anything that came to light in this that actually took you by surprise?
Hearing some of the doo-wop stuff that he did in the 50s, yes. I mean, I knew about it, but I hadn't heard it before. But there's a lot of surprises in there. We wanted to give the fans things that they didn't know about Ronnie, and they're so proud of what they did. We made it with love. We made it for the fans, and I hope they really enjoy it because we did.
Now, Don, this is kind of your sweet spot. I know a lot of people, one of your more memorable artist movies is Last Days. How did you and Wendy come to collaborate on this, though?
We were working with BMG. Kathy Daum was the executive at BMG, and she had seen some of our previous documentaries, and they were getting more into, you know, kind of doing their own and financing their own documentaries of artists that they have on their BMG roster. So, you know, she had supplied us with a handful of names of people, the documentaries that she wanted to do, artists that they had, and they weren't really good fits. And then we got an email one night from Kathy that said, you know, any interest in a Dio documentary? And, of course, she probably didn't know that both myself and my co-director Demian were huge Dio fans, and so that was the easiest and quickest response to an email ever of yes with a lot of exclamation points. And from there we met with Wendy and heard from Wendy, you know, what was important to her and what she really wanted to get across, and, you know, talk to her about like what kind of materials that she had and all that. So that was really the beginning, and we eased into it. You know, we probably started, I have to look back at the tapes, and, you know, because of the pandemic, I feel like you have to tack on like 2 years to any memory that you talk about from,
right,
you know, looking back. So I think it was probably like 3+ years that we got started on this, three and a half years ago. One of the first shoots we did was Wendy at the Rainbow. We brought her into the Rainbow to kind of reminisce and talk about, you know, meeting Ronnie. That's where she met Ronnie there, and she brought us to the table where, you know, where she did meet Ronnie for the first time. And so that was our first shoot. And then from there, we had started, and then the pandemic hit and kind of shut us down for a little while, but we had enough footage already shot that we were, you know, starting to edit it, knowing that we still needed a lot more interviews, and we were just waiting, like most people, when the pandemic started, like, well, maybe another week or so, and, you know, this thing will all go away, and, mm-hmm, you know, cut to 7 months later, and we still weren't able to travel. But, you know, once there was a lull in the pandemic, and people were opening up a little bit, we took that opportunity and just, like, you know, just was like well, full bore, and we went to Santa Fe and interviewed Don Dokken and Lita Ford in Arizona and Rob Halford. Wow. And then we spent like 10 days in Los Angeles getting as many interviews as possible, not knowing that, like, you know, if the world shuts down again, we'd at least have, you know, that to keep going. So, you know, as I said before and continue to say, like, if there was ever a project that needed to have more time spent on it and we're being stuck, quote unquote, with, you know, a project, I'm glad it was this one, because literally every day coming in to work and getting to hear and listen to Ronnie James Dio is a cool day at the job.
When people go see the movie, they're going to be able to see outtakes that may or may not be available later on. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, of course. One of the stories that that is, you know, I would say fairly well known is later in Ronnie's life, he accidentally cut his thumb off with a garden gnome accident at his house, and we actually thought that there was no way that it wouldn't end up in the movie, because it's such a great story, and Wendy tells that, you know, sets the story up. He was, you know, trying to place this garden gnome in this area in his garden that was on a hill, and he kind of lost his footing, and the garden gnome, like, came down, crashed on his thumb, and, like, cut it off. And then one of the photographers that was also friends with Ronnie, John Harrell, ended up taking photos of Ronnie with the garden gnome after the incident. So we have this great story and, you know, great never before seen photos of Ronnie giving the finger to this gnome that tried to cut his finger off. And so that's a special feature at the end that wasn't included in the film, but it'll be in the special screenings that we're having.
I love it. My husband and I are so looking forward to seeing it. Now, everybody can go ahead and get their tickets at DioDreamersNeverDie.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. I know that this is going to be playing September 28th and October 2nd. Is it going to be available to stream later, or is that something that is just still on the table?
Yep. Yeah, we are available on streaming and DVDs and Blu-rays, and the soundtrack will be coming. So there's a lot in the works. But I think what we wanted to put across is this is very special to get all the fans together. It's like going to a concert.
Right.
So it's just these two special days that they can go all together and watch the film as if it was a concert. It's a special evening.
Don, I asked Wendy, I know you were a big fan and knew a lot about Ronnie James Dio going into this project, but I'm going to ask you, what was something that you found out that absolutely took you by surprise?
Well, I mean, I knew that Ronnie was older, you know what I mean? He's always been like the big brother in heavy metal, and mm-hmm. I kind of knew that because so many of the contemporaries, you know, that he played music with, you know, he was much older then. But I didn't realize, frankly, how much older he was, because in our mind, Ronnie's always been immortal and ageless, you know?
Right.
So never really gave it a whole lot of thought about, you know, how much older he was than a lot of his contemporaries, you know, in the 80s. But yeah, that was surprising to me that, you know, he started, you know, with a doo-wop career, you know,
yes,
with a very traditional kind of, like, you know, Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck in that
Four
model.
Seasons.
Because, you know, I think, yeah, so many people, you know, when he started out singing in the early 50s, you know, I think clearly managers and talent people recognized his talent and knew that they had something special, but they were trying to find the right kind of format for his voice. And he has such a big, powerful voice.
Yes.
That when you hear those songs from the 50s, like a song like An Angel Is Missing, which is an awesome song, you know, from, you know, like 1955, 54, Ronnie and the Redcaps, or Ronnie and the Prophets, you know, you can hear Dio. You can hear that heavy metal voice, you know, in this kind of, like, very, you know, a format that is a bit unfamiliar to people that just know him from heavy rock. So, you know, that was surprising to me because his career really does span the history of music, you know, all the way back to the 50s, and he was doing this before the Beatles. You know, he was singing. So I think that to me was a big part of Ronnie's story, and the thing that we kept trying to reinforce is that all these moments in Ronnie's life were building blocks to where he eventually ended up as, you know, this guy in arenas with, you know, a huge animatronic dragon and, you know, the big spectacle of his live shows. Like, how did he get there? Going all the way back to, like, Ronnie and the Prophets, you know, it's like a pretty incredible musical journey that is, frankly, not unlike any story in music. You know, there are a lot of very archetypical sex, drugs, and rock and roll stories, and this is couldn't be further from that. As the guy who, like, you know, started a career in music at a very early age and, like, stuck with it and had not one, not two, but three incredibly successful musical careers, going from Rainbow to Black Sabbath and then Dio. Like, that, name me one other story that exists in music, and there isn't one. You know?
Hey, listen, I could crack an adult beverage and talk to y'all for hours, but I know people are waiting. I want to thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about Dio, Dreamers Never Die, out in theaters worldwide September 28th and October 2nd. Wendy and Don, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Rock Talk with Jackie Neal.